Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13 as we continue our study on this theme, Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening we want to meditate on this topic, It is time to wash up. And our text will be from verse 13, but let us read from verse 11 to verse 14 together. Ready, reading. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. And we thank the Lord for the reading of His holy word. We have already meditated in this passage how we all have a gospel debt to repay. If we are to owe anyone anything, let it be only the gospel debt. Then we also considered how we need to awake out of sleep. We must not be lethargic anymore. We cannot waste away our life. We need to be awake, be sober, don't be asleep anymore, because the time is very urgent. And then we have seen also, if now you have awoken out of this sleep, if you realize the urgency of the time, then make sure you cast off the works of darkness. Make sure you dress up, put on the armor of light. This is the armor of light because it is a spiritual warfare which we are engaging in. But having described what we have to put off and wear, Apostle Paul now also tells us, watch how you walk. And this is where our text this evening discusses on what are the things that we need to put off and how should we walk, how should we conduct ourselves. Make sure that your life is cleaned up. Make sure you wash off the filth, the things that are unworthy of Christ in your life. Watch how you walk. Apostle Paul here simply says, let us walk honestly. Watch how you walk. This word honestly simply describes something that is done decently. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, Apostle Paul says, and he used this word to say, let all things be done decently and in order. And here, this word is also used to describe in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12, that you walk honestly towards them that are without. And the emphasis there is on those who are without Christ, those who are outside of Christ. Walk honestly towards them that are without. Remember, the whole context here is we are living as Christians in a non-Christian world, especially to those who are outside Christ. Walk honestly. And this idea of decently means that you walk in an honorable way. You walk in a respectable way. You walk with a high moral character where you have the Word of God as the standard. Right? There must be a moral character before God. Not just merely before men. Yes, you walk honestly towards them that are without, but God is your standard of this moral character. It is not just in the Christian community how you behave, the way you talk, your language, your conduct, but especially to those who are without. Watch how you walk. And the Bible uses this word walk to describe the whole life, the whole way of life. It describes your conduct. It describes the path that you tread. It describes the direction that you take. It describes your whole life. What is your path? What is the direction your life is heading unto? The plans that you have for each day, the energy that you spend for each day. What is your path, the life in which you are treading? You need to follow the correct path, a certain path. Watch how you walk. Now, this idea of walk is expressed by the Apostle Paul in several other places. Okay, we cannot explore every single one of them, and this evening we do not want to focus so much on this, because we want to look at the things which Apostle Paul wants us off. But if you study the book of Ephesians, Apostle Paul will talk about the Christian walk. But in summary, how should we walk? You can describe our walk where we need to walk in love, walk in light, walk redeeming the time, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk. But in summary, how should we walk? Perhaps the best summary would be in Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. Apostle Paul says, do not walk in the flesh. Walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now this is the passage where we have the fruit of the spirit. And there the Apostle Paul says, walk in the spirit. Walk guided by the spirit. Walk led by the spirit. Walk empowered by the spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We cannot all walk according to our preferences or walk merely according to our own definition of what is right and wrong or what is our idea of moral standards. Walk in the Spirit. Walk honestly. Now, why did the Apostle Paul emphasize the need to walk? Because this is the life which others are going to see. See, this is why we cannot be, and we do not accept the idea that when a Christian is called, we just isolate ourselves to a place, isolate ourselves within a community. There needs to be a walk so that others can see that this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what moral standards are according to the character and the nature and the person of God. There is right and wrong. There is truth and error. There is good and there is bad. Walk honestly, as in the day. Now, having exhorted us to walk honestly, Apostle Paul then lists out three pairs of evils here that he tells us that we need to be very careful of. So now he states it in the negative. Okay, so walking honestly is in the positive. Then in the negative, what does it mean to now walk indecently? So walking honestly means you walk decently. So now what does it mean then to walk in an indecent way? What does it mean to walk in an unhonorable way? He now explains it. And he used three pairs to describe this. Okay, the first pair is rioting and drunkenness. The second pair, chambering and wantonness. And the third pair, strife and envy. And this is what we need to look at now in greater detail. The cleaning up. Now the first pair here, where the Apostle Paul says, do not walk in rioting and drunkenness. What does it mean? This word rioting does not mean like a political protest, okay, that kind of riot. Like maybe if you are not happy about something, then you go out on the streets and then you riot. Not that kind of riot. This word rioting is used to describe a kind of partying. It is used to describe also during the time of the Apostle Paul, a kind of excessive feasting. And this word is used in the time of Paul in the Greek culture to describe also a procession, where they often hold these processions in celebration of this Greek god known as Dionysus. Now, this Greek god Dionysus is the Greek equivalent of the Roman god Bacchus. I'm not sure whether you know of this English word named Bacchanalia. Okay? Bacchanalia is simply a word that is used to describe a kind of wild partying where people become drunk. Okay? Just to let you know also a little bit of the background, this Greek god Dionysus is known as the god of wine. So when they celebrate this feast in tribute to this Greek god, Dionysus, they are celebrating the god of wine. And of course, how do you celebrate this god of wine? How do they worship this god of wine? By partying, drinking lots of wine, which is why this idea of rioting is put together with drunkenness. And it's often used to describe the kind of wild, crazy, sinful, immoral partings that is very common during the Roman Empire. And this is the idea that the Apostle Paul says here, not in rioting and drunkenness anymore. And this idea of rioting has the idea also of looseness, where a person wants to now challenge the norm. He wants to break free from the norm in culture, the norm in society. I want to be true to myself. It just describes the looseness, the letting of oneself go. And Apostle Paul says, for us as Christians, we cannot walk in this kind of looseness, in this kind of partying, in this kind of drunkenness anymore. Remember, the idea of drunkenness describes someone who is now under the influence of alcohol, where he's no longer conscious, no longer aware of what he's saying, what he's doing. He's drunk. Now, this is the question that we need to think upon further. Today, there are a lot of people who want to talk about their liberty, talk about their freedom, talk about their rights. But their liberty to do what? To do whatever I want to do. This is why they challenge the norms. And they challenge the norms with regard to gender. Right? What people have traditionally accepted as gender, you challenge the norms. What the society has accepted as their culture, you challenge the norm, challenge the tradition. And young people today just wants to challenge everything. Challenge authority because we want to set ourselves loose. I want to be free. And there's a problem with that, you know, in this regard. Sometimes we think that shows like Disney shows are very innocent because they are just cartoon shows and they are just suitable for children with very cute sounding songs. But you know this show called Frozen. Okay, it's not so popular now anymore, right? Because it's like something that's very long ago. And you know that this show Frozen has one song that is very famous that everyone knows. I've not watched this show, okay, but you just go to Wikipedia and then you go and read it. But then you also know that everyone, there was a point in time where they keep singing it, they keep talking about it. You know this song, Let It Go? Now, you think about it, actually some of these Disney songs are not as innocent as it seems. Right? Now, okay, before we talk about Let It Go, there's also another song, right? You know, the song is Love is an Open Door. Okay? If you think very carefully about it, they say that, oh, this is children, very innocent. What is the image and the impression that they give children regarding marriage from this song, Love is an Open Door? If you do not know what I'm talking about, very good. Because you do not know what this song is about. But if you know what I'm talking about, this song, Love is an Open Door, something like they talk about how at the end of this song, right, they want to marry each other. Correct? They say, like we find our mental minds, what, synchronizing, that can be, we want to complete each other's sandwiches. There can be only one explanation. Something like that, right? I know I'm not getting the words right. Okay? Yes, David, thank you. But I know. But you know the idea. At the end of it is what? He says, do you want to marry me? Then she says, then she says, yes, right? Something like that. And that is love is an open door. It sends a message. Right? What message does it send to children? Maybe this is where Tammy this afternoon she asked the question. Oh, can I just get married to someone in 2 months? Like that, right? So this kind of just marriage in 2 months is wrong. Definitely. They just, at the end of this song, our minds synchronize, we can complete each other's sentences, and then we get married. This kind is wrong. Okay? This afternoon, we are talking about a different kind, where you are very clear of God's will, use biblical standards. That is different. Okay? Now, but coming back to Let It Go. So love is an open door, one is not my point. Okay, it's just by the way. Okay? But coming back to Let It Go, you look at the idea of what Let It Go suggests. Right? Let it go. Don't care about it anymore, something like that, right? I don't care what they are going to say. Just turn away and slam the door. Correct? Now what does it suggest? You think it's really that innocent? You keep saying, let it go, don't care what people think, just turn around, slam the door. Now, when children think about all these things, what kind of ideas will they get? When youth think about these things, what kind of ideas will they get? And this is the kind of looseness where people want to challenge the norms, where they want to have liberation, liberty, social liberation, cultural liberation, and even in Christianity, they talk about Christian liberty. There's a lot of talk about Christian liberty, but what is Christian liberty? Christian liberty is not freedom to do whatever you want because Christ has forgiven you of your sins. That's not Christian liberty. Christian liberty is freedom from sin, freedom from the bondage of sin. It is liberty to live a holy life. It is liberty to live like Christ. Liberty to live for Christ. It is liberty to live by faith. That is what Christian liberty is. So the call for this kind of freedom, where they use this freedom to indulge in the flesh as an opportunity for the flesh, what they have really become and what they have really done is they have become a bondage to sin. They have been held bondage to sin. That they have become a slave to sin. That is what has really become. You know, when people look at rioting and drunkenness and when they think that they are having liberty, freedom, the looseness, right? Looseness from what people expect of me. Looseness, I'm just free to do whatever I want. What they have actually really done is they have become a slave to sin. Because sin really leads a person to slavery. You know when a person engages in sin, the more he sins, it shrivels up his will. He thinks that, if I just play a little bit with sin, never mind, if I need to, I can just easily come out of it. But the moment you dabble with sin, once you are hooked by it, it dulls your senses, it dulls your willpower. This is why drug addicts find it very hard to overcome sin. I mean, their drug addiction. Because some of them, if you talk to some of these drug addicts or ex-drug addicts, some Christians who used to be drug addicts, you listen to their testimony and you see how they were trapped in it. And this is what they say. Sometimes you do not even have to be drug addicts to know this kind of experience. Right, when they take drugs, they feel high for a moment. But after the drugs wear off, they now have this sense of guilt, misery. Especially when they see how their drug addiction is ruining their family, ruining their life. And you think they do not want to break out of it. They want to. But they feel so miserable, they feel so guilty, and they just want to forget that kind of feeling and pain. And then what do? To try to get rid of that feeling and pain? Drugs, again. So what they go to is to the very same thing that is bringing them the grief and the misery, because they thought that, and they just want something to just get rid of that pain. But what they are doing is to go to the very thing that is hurting them, that is destroying them, to try to get rid of the feeling of guilt. Now when you look at other forms of sin, not drug addiction, maybe intangible sin, like things you cannot see per se, it is the same. Many forms of addiction are like that. You do something, even as a Christian, then after that you do it already, you feel so miserable, you feel so guilty, you feel so remorseful, and you do not know how to handle this remorse, this guilt, this feeling. So what you do? You engage in sin again, just wanting to forget that feeling. Then it becomes a vicious cycle. Sin is a slavery. It shrivels up your mind, your will. And you know that sin is also a slavery because, there's this thing called the tolerant effect. When you indulge in sin, and when somebody is addicted to something, it is never enough. And the feeling that he gets of thrill, the initial feeling of thrill that he gets from this thing, now becomes dull. Initially, it feels very good. But the more he now does it, he feels that he has lost that feeling. Then what he needs is more of it, and even more of it, to get back just that same feeling again. And that is how sin leads us to slavery. And this is why, young people, you have to be very, very careful. Sometimes you think that you want freedom. You want to do whatever you want. You want to just be yourself. You do not want to care for what the pastor say, what this person say. I do not want to be answerable to anyone. I just want to be free. Be very careful. When you indulge in these sins, they really ensnare you. They really trap you. What you thought is freedom is really bondage. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. This flesh that has been corrupted by sin. Christians should not use this expression. Just be true to yourself. Just be who you want to be. Because for the Christian, We only want to be who Christ wants us to be. It's not you just be who you want to be. Your identity, your gender, your life choices, your future. I just want to be who I want to be. Be who Christ wants you to be. You must bear the image of Christ. Are you walking in rioting and drunkenness? Now, this first pair is related to the second pair. Because the second pair now is in chambering and wantonness. And these two are associated together. Okay, because the partying, the drunkenness, they are often associated with sexual immorality. And that is actually the meaning of the word bacchanalia. Okay, it describes those kind of licentious, sensual sins, immoral behavior. Now the word chambering here literally means it comes from the root word meaning the bed. Okay? This word bed. And here this word bed is used as a euphemism, okay? Or the word chambering is used as a euphemism or a description of all sorts of sexual immorality. Okay, now the word wantonness simply means lasciviousness. Okay, lasciviousness, which has the meaning of filthiness. Again, the emphasis here is on the lust of the flesh, sexual immorality. So, the second pair here emphasizes the sexual immorality. Apostle Paul says, we need to walk honestly as in the day, not in the kind of looseness, all kinds of looseness, whatever it may be, where you just want to challenge anything, just want to be free. Then the second pair, he says, especially in sexual immoralities. Don't walk in it. Now, this is a topic and an issue that is getting harder and harder to deal with. And it's hard to deal with not because the Bible is not clear regarding this issue. It's also hard to deal with not because it's an embarrassing topic. But this is an issue and a topic that's hard to deal with because of the kind of perversion that men have created, the kind of twisted arguments and the thoughts that men have thought of. Not only of unbelievers, we are talking even of believers. How some Christians have even perverted scriptures to justify a kind of sensual, immoral lifestyle. And what are the issues that we are really dealing with today? You know, Apostle Paul, if you study some of these history books, you realize that in the Roman Empire, this kind of sexual immorality was a really serious problem. But today, we are doing no better. In fact, it is far worse. You know, you would think that after years of development, right, where we have education, where now people are more educated, supposed to be more educated, general population of the world today, generally speaking, are more educated. You would think with these things, society would become better, but it just proves to us, it shows us that the problem of sin cannot be solved by education. But you look at the kind of problems that exist today, that men have thought of, how hard it is to deal with this. Now today, there are this kind of fornication, where they have different terms used to describe it. I'm sure you have heard of this perversion of marriage known as polygamy. Okay? Many marriages, where a man may have many wives, or a woman may have many husbands, for example. But do you know that today there is also something called a polyamorous or a polytriad kind of relationship? Polytriad is not music, okay? Sounds like, you know, triad and poly, like music. Okay, but no, it's not music. Polytriad or polyamorous relationship. Now, what is a polyamorous relationship? It was reported that 2 years ago in Colombia, there was a first polyamorous family that was legally recognized in Colombia. Why is that? It's where three men got married to each other. That is a polyamorous relationship. Actually, initially, there were four men who wanted to get married to each other. Okay, that's four men in a married relationship. But one of them died of, I think, cancer. so left three of them. So the three of them got married legally in Colombia. That is what it means, is meant by a polyamorous relationship. You know, there was also a case in America, okay, where a husband and wife divorce so that the wife can marry her girlfriend and then they still live together. Okay, so legally in US they have not acknowledged this polyamorous marriage, but they have polyamorous relationships where husband and wife, they divorce each other so that the wife can marry the girlfriend, but they live together still as a family. So in the family now, and by the way, they have children as well. The family now has, the child would see two mothers and one father. That kind of relationship. And of course, this kind of homosexual relationship, some of these things are homosexual relationship, are not the only kind of fornication and sexual immorality found today. There are such things also known as swinging. Have you all heard of swinging before? Swinging is now a practice where married couples, they would exchange their partners with, so a married couple may exchange their partners, their partner with another married couple for a period of time. Okay, so a husband and wife may say that, you know, they agree with another couple, say that maybe for a week, let us exchange wives. And that is kind of swinging. So this is the kind of fornication and immorality. And by the way, it's not just found like somewhere out there. No, in the past when we talk about some of these things, it's like, oh, somewhere out there in US or something. I'm sure if you just look very carefully in your schools, amongst your friends, this kind of immoral relationship is so common. When they talk about it, some of them are not even ashamed about it. Unmarried couples are living together, right, in a relationship. Unmarried couples are traveling together. Now, in the universities, over here you have university fellowship. So when I was in Singapore also, we have a kind of university fellowship. And these universities, when you talk to some of the students, you see their friends, what kind of relationships they are engaging in. And some of these uni students, they share that in their friends, right, they will just talk about the kind of relationships that they have where they even exchange boyfriend and girlfriends. So it's swinging, just the only difference is that not yet married. And they are very open about it. Then of course some of them get hurt. So there's this Facebook page known as NUS Whispers, okay, where some people anonymously, they can go to the webpage NUS Whispers. NUS is National University of Singapore. Okay, then they would just rant, okay, and just complain. So some of them, they have this kind of swinging relationship, but then after they get jealous, then they go and complain on these NUS Whispers. All this mess, all this perversion that is created by men today. And of course, homosexuality is an issue that we cannot avoid, that also falls into this kind of sexual immorality and perversion. And we are not just talking about unbelievers who now accept these things. Even believers also, or professing believers rather, even Christians and churches are supporting this kind of relationship. And it's something that we need to be ready to deal with today. You know, some of the arguments that they use are very, very perverted. They would say things like, when the Apostle Paul wrote about sexual immorality, homosexual marriages were not known in their culture and their time. There may be homosexual relationships, but not homosexual marriages. Therefore, Apostle Paul could not have condemned homosexual marriages. Hey, he condemned homosexual relationship, but not homosexual marriages. Things like that. Okay, that is the kind of arguments that they use. And there are, of course, a lot of these kind of perverted arguments where they say that homosexuality outside a committed relationship is condemned. Okay, another argument they use is that, or some may use, is that homosexual relationship outside of marriage is condemned. Okay? But within marriage, it is okay. And they will argue it's just like any other marriage relationship. You follow the argument? See, in a normal relationship, if you commit fornication outside of marriage, it is a sin. But within marriage, there's a proper place for physical intimacy. So they are arguing in the same way, homosexual relationship, if there's a physical intimacy between a couple outside of marriage, then it's a sin. But within marriage, it is not a sin. Just like marriage for a male and a female. That's the kind of arguments that they use. But is this what the Bible says? If you study through the scriptures, in Romans chapter 1, Apostle Paul makes it very clear that these things are really perversion of the design of man. All you need to do is also simply to go back to Genesis chapter 2. And you see what what God has ordained with regard to marriage. The word wife in the Bible is always feminine. You look at how God ordained marriage. It's a man and a woman. This is what God has ordained marriage to be. And God has also ordained the physical intimacy to be within the bounds of marriage. And this is where, in light of all this perversion, all this kind of sexual immorality, Christians especially has to walk in the light, not in chambering and wantonness. Which is why this afternoon, even during the Q&A session, we emphasize so much on how important it is to guard ourselves against this kind of fornication. Now, Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that any sin that you commit without the body, but the sin of fornication, when you do it, you also sin against the body. And you must remember, you must know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And today this sin is so dangerous because unlike the time of the Apostle Paul, you no longer have to go to the brothels for this sin, for you to fall into this sin. For us today, this sin can be found even in our homes and even in our hearts and our minds. And young people have to guard yourself very carefully. The sin and the lust, indulging the addiction in pornography. Is this something that has been plaguing you? Then you need to clean it up. Walk honestly, as in the day. You know how this relates to the first two pair of rioting and drunkenness. Earlier on, we talked about how rioting and drunkenness, right, describes the challenging of the social norms, the changing of the social norms. Right, this is where it relates together. Because today, there are people who try to redefine a person's identity. And they say that gender is an issue of identity. Okay? Now, how they define it today in the world is where they say that your gender identity is different from your sexual orientation and is also different from your biological sex. Okay, that is what they say. Now, what they claim is that your gender identity is the innermost concept of yourself. How do you feel? How do you look like? How do you behave? How do you perceive yourself? And what would you call yourself? And they say that this gender identity is different from the physical gender which is assigned at birth. And then they say that a sexual orientation is now the romantic attraction to a person or to another person, okay, to other people. That's the sexual orientation. It's the sexual attraction. And it's got nothing to do with the gender identity or the biological gender. If they say it's got nothing to do with it because what they mean is that a man may have an attraction for another man. Okay? A man who thinks that he's a woman may also have an attraction for another man or another woman. Right? So this is how they make the distinction between sexual orientation and gender identity. And they say it's simply different from your biological sex. This is how the looseness leads to the chambering and wantonness. These two things are related together. How to overcome these things? We need to simply go back to what the Word of God says regarding these things. Right? What is looseness? What is liberty? Go back to what the Word of God says. What is fornication? Go back to what the Word of God says. We cannot simply redefine just based on our preferences. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Will you clean up your act in these things? And the Apostle Paul warns now of the third pair, not in strife and envy. Now, when we first read these three sets of evil, I'm not sure about you, but the first impression a person may have is that the first two sets seem so serious, right? Rioting and drunkenness, that describes the looseness. And then the second set, the sexual immorality and impurity, that also seems so serious. Then why the third pair, the strife and envy? How does it stand together with these first two pair? The first impression that a person may have is that, hey, this third pair doesn't seem as serious. But what Apostle Paul is really highlighting here is that the spirit of strife and envy is as serious and as terrible a sin as the first two pair. Walk honestly, don't walk indecently. And walking indecently is now where you walk in strife and envy. Now, this word strife here describes how a person likes to engage in rivalry. Like he's always seeking, he has a contentious spirit, he is always disharmonious or creating disharmony. Strife. And this strife may be born out of envy. Envy is now where a person is envious, maybe of another person's success. Jealous. And these two things come together. The strife. Are you a contentious person? Always critical. Always seek to compete. And you know, sometimes the worst thing is that you create strife, not just between you and someone, but you create strife between two other people. Now, I know of this person who, in the place I used to be, I would tell you whether it's a church or anything, but hey, in the place where I used to be, and this person creates discord and sows discord like this. I hope you are not familiar with this kind of pattern. Let's call this person person A. What this person would do is that he'll go up to person B. Then you tell this person B, hey, do you know that person C say these things about you, you know? Very bad, very bad. This person C, you know, how can he come and tell you, say all these things about you? Then anyway, I try to defend you. I try to explain because I understand. So I tell this person C, better stop saying these things. Then this person A now goes to person C. I say, hey, you know, this person B say all these things about you, you know. Very, very bad. But anyway, I also tell this person B, better stop. Don't rumor and gossip, very, very bad, very unhealthy. Then, for a long time, person B and person C, they hate each other. They do not know why they hate each other. I mean, of course, they know why they hate each other, but they hate each other for no reason, right? They hate each other only because person A told them these things. And for a long time, they are angry with each other, they don't talk to each other, they are bitter, they cannot serve together. Until one day, B and C confronted each other. What is going on? Why do you say these things about me? And they say that, no, I never say this about you. And after that, person C also said the same thing. I also never said this about you. Who said? Oh, person A said this. But person A also told me that you said this about me. But that's not true. Until finally, they are able to resolve. Then they realize that person A is the problem. And you see how the environment becomes so toxic so quickly. And sometimes it's more complicated than that, right? I'm just like condensing, okay? Because sometimes there may be person D, E, F, G, H involved, right? Then D, E, F is the friend of B, right? Then H, I, J, K, L, M, N is a friend of C, right? Then after that, they all continue together, right? Then there are some also together with A. You know where I'm getting. And this is the kind of strife that people can create. For what? Sometimes. You see, this is how it relates to jealousy. Maybe I'm very jealous that this person now seems so friendly. Oh, this person now so many people seem to like him or her. Now why? And then now they're jealous. Then they do this thing. Sometimes I don't even understand what do a person gain out of it. Okay, at the end, what does person A really gain, really in reality? Right? Not his imagination, but what does he gain out of it all? And the way that you can put a stop to these things is really you show charity. You exercise charity. You exercise humility. All it actually needed was B or C to show some humility. First one just says, you know, talk to C. Brother, sister, did you say this? Or can I understand why? Maybe give me a chance to clarify. And immediately all these things will stop. And how to stop rumors? Sometimes the way to stop rumors is just not to feed it. Now, do you know the more you react to rumors, actually, the more you feed these rumors, because that is what the person wants, right? He wants to see a reaction. He wants to get a reaction. Oftentimes, when you do not react on the rumor, it just dies off. But this is a kind of strife and envying that you can see even in churches. You see it over and over again. And how people now cannot serve together when they are in the same ministry. That's the most headache. They are in the same ministry, sometimes the same committee. Then how to serve together? And everything very tense. Like we heard of some ministry now where, I mean, there's some ministries in even in the church where, you know, when you want to do something, then, oh, this person cannot because this person not happy with this person. You want to do this also, cannot, because this person also not happy with this. Better don't put this person in the same group as this person and things like that. So do y'all have this problem when y'all set the groups, right, for the grouping, for the camp, group 1, 2, 3? It cannot be this person not happy with this person and these things like that, right? I hope that's not the case. You know, this kind of strife and envy. Actually, it's all simply, it comes down to pride. The arrogance. The putting of yourself above others. You see, an envious spirit is the same thing. You put yourself above others. When others enjoy success, you think you are the one who deserves it. You think that he does not deserve it. Right? That is the kind of envious spirit. This kind of jealousy. And Apostle Paul says, and he classed this together. You can now put all this together under the works of darkness. All these are the works of the flesh. All these are indecent way of walking. Are you a person of contention, of strife, and of envy? Watch very carefully how you respond to people. Think very carefully before you speak. Can you use a word that would show more understanding? Hey, can you use a word that would express more kindness? Can you hold your tongue to prevent this kind of strife? Can you control your emotions, your temper? You see, it relates again to this looseness, right? Don't just let yourself loose. I control. Ask the Lord to grant you the Holy Spirit, His grace, to control your emotion when you feel like reacting. Can you control? Not in strife and envy. Walk honestly as in the day. Now there are of course a lot of other evil and wickedness that the Bible highlights. But over here, these three paths which the Apostle Paul warns us of. As Christians, as children of light, let us walk honestly. Are you awake out of sleep? Don't be indifferent anymore. Don't be careless anymore. Where you care, you cannot care anything about these things. Don't be careless or careless regarding these things anymore. Don't be slumbering anymore. Awake out of sleep. Put off these works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Put off rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife and envy. And put on Christ. Walk honestly. Walk in the Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we come before Thee this evening. We ask that Thou wilt search our hearts and see if there be any wicked ways in us. Search us and cleanse us. O Lord, we know how these things are displeasing in thy sight. And we know how thy word tells us what is good and right. And O Lord, we pray that thou will help us to guard ourselves against a spirit of looseness, of parting, of intemperance. O Lord, help us to guard against these things. For we know that the liberty that you have given to us is not a liberty unto sin. Help us and guard us also against a kind of sexual immoralities that is found in our age and time today. Indeed, all around us, the music we hear, the things we see, even in our own bedrooms, these things, they creep up upon us. We pray that thou will help us to make a covenant with our eyes, that we will guard ourselves against these things, and guard us also against an attitude of strife and envy, and help us to put away any bitter feeling that we may have against another, that we may forgive one another as Christ also has forgiven us. Teach us, O Lord, how we may walk honestly, that in our life, in our conduct, our speech, in our whole way of life, we will show forth Christ. We pray that thou wilt keep these things in our hearts. We thank thee for this young adult's retreat. Some will also return home later. We pray that thou wilt be very close to them and grant them journey's mercy. And we also pray for the time of fellowship which we will have. May you continue to bless the fellowship that we have in Christ. We commit all these things into thy hands, praying in Jesus' name. Amen.